for the next couple of months is possibilities, what if God, dot, dot, dot. Okay? So you fill in the spaces there. What if God speaks to me? What if God tells me to do something or tells us to do something as a church? What if God challenges us? What if God is present amongst us in a very powerful way? What if God? What are the possibilities there? And to discover some of the possibilities of what God might be saying to us, we're going to journey through Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, for 8 sermons or so. And we're going to discover how the what if God question showed Joshua what the possibilities were for him as a leader of God's people, but also for the people of Israel as they were going into the promised land. And we're going to discover from that the same God that led Joshua in those days is the God that we know and we can have a personal, intimate relationship with through faith in Jesus Christ. So you ready for the journey? I didn't see too many nods there. At least I didn't see any yawns. That's great, eh? So to start the journey, I think we have to think a little bit about where Joshua is at. And so I'll be doing a little bit of a background to where Joshua is at. But I want you to think of something else. Before I came to church today, I was trying to think of the name of a game that the children play. You know, where someone's out the front, turns around, and the children freeze? Is that, what's the time, Mr. Wolf? Is that the one? Okay. So anybody ever played that game? What's the time, Mr. Wolf? Most people understand what I'm saying? Good, we're not going to practice it now. That was the option, to practice it now. But in thinking about that game, I was thinking about, we can't really freeze time, can we? We wish we could. I wish I could freeze time. There are times in my past where it's been such a wonderful time with family and friends. I just wish, click, we could freeze it. And it'd stay like that forever. It's not going to happen, is it? We know that's not going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. Sometimes we wish time wouldn't stop when we're going through tough times. We wish time would quicken up so we get out of those tough times. Well, Joshua and the people of Israel had been through some tough times. They'd just been wandering in the desert for 40 years. So they didn't want to go back there. But they were facing some possibilities that they needed to know that God was with them and God was leading them. Things do change in our lives, don't they? You know, some of us go pear-shaped. Yeah, where we were the other way around at one stage. Some of us get grey hairs and all the rest. And change is inevitable, but I'm not sure if we like change. Very often we fight change. But often there's a really good reason for change. And let me share with you some descriptions of what it was like to work in a hospital in 1887 in the States. And these were some of the rules. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's a whole page in there. But nearly 200 years ago, not quite, 150 years ago, this is how hospitals worked. For every nurse, there was 50 patients on every shift. The nurses had to daily sweep the floors and mop the floors. Lighting was important to observe the patient's condition, so the nurse had to fill the kerosene lamps and make sure that the wicks were trimmed so that they could actually see the condition of the patients at night time. Every nurse had to be on duty from 7 a.m. and leave at 8 a.m. Aren't you glad some things change? Aren't you glad that we've modernised and so we look after our nursing staff better and we train them better and we give them better equipment and facilities? So hospitals have changed a lot since 1887. So change is good sometimes. But sometimes we still don't like change. And for the people of Israel, during Moses' time and into Joshua's time, there had been lots of things happening. Moses had been the leader for 40 years. That didn't change much. They could always look to Moses for his leadership. There were good times, there were bad times, but he was always there as the leader. He was always the connection between the people and God. And they'd become comfortable with that. They'd been happy with that. They'd become secure with that. But when he passed away, and that's what we read in the first part of Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, it says, the people were unsettled. Even though Moses had appointed Joshua as the new leader in his place, Joshua hadn't been in that role before, and the people of Israel weren't used to him as a leader. So they're a little bit, you know, change is happening. Are we happy with this? How will it work? I suspect that churches are a little bit like that, don't you? That when change comes or change is proposed, we think, oh, but we haven't always done it that way. You know? This is different to the way we've done things in the past. Do you know the thing that is sure about everything when change happens is that what if God's there? What are the possibilities that God is bringing about to bring change into people's lives individually or into lives of churches? And so we're going to discover a little bit about that over these next 8 weeks. What is God going to do? What if God turns up? What if God does something very clear in your life? What changes will that bring about? How will you manage them? The same for the church. So to understand a little bit of Joshua, hands up if you'd read Joshua in the last year, the book of Joshua in last year. I didn't think there'd be too many hands up. Good on you if you have. Some of us are in the habit of trying to read the Bible every year, all the way through every year, and that's good. But sometimes we rely on our memories to take us back to previous sermons about Joshua, or our memories to take us back to Sunday school times when we learned about Joshua. And for some of us, myself included, long-term memory is better than short-term memory. And so we have to re-familiarize ourselves with Joshua and understand where he's coming from. So to do that, I'm going to do a little bit of background, Bible history. Now, this is a really hard one to see. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to see if this pointer will work for us. Yes, it will. Okay, a little bit creation back here. Up here is all the northern kingdoms around Israel. Down here is the southern kingdoms, Egypt and the like. So here we have right through the flood into the time of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, 12 sons of Joseph, and then into slavery in Egypt, and then Moses became the leader that was leading the people to the promised land. And they ended up wandering around in the desert for 40 years because they got to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Can everybody say that? Kadesh Barnea. That's your homework for next week. You have to remember that name. And I recall one of our lecturers at Bible College gave us that very homework to do. Guess how many of the students in class remember it the next week? None. Kadesh Barnea was where God told Moses to send out 12 spies into the land of Canaan to check it out. And I remember teaching the kids a song when we were little. The 12 spies came back. They saw some amazing things in that land. And when they came back, 10 said no, 2 said go. 10 said, no, it's too big a job. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in front of them. And 2 said, God's telling us to go. We should trust him. And guess what? The people chose not to go. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And none of that generation, other than the 2 who said go, Joshua and Caleb, ended up entering into the promised land. Big mistake, wasn't it? Don't you think it was a big mistake to say no when God was saying go? So we have to be careful that we're listening to what God's saying to us through his word, through his spirit, that we don't say no and miss out on what God's got planned for us as individuals and as a church. So that's a bit of the history. Location, I don't think these maps came up very well. I'll see what I can do. So most of us can see Egypt over here, Israel in this section here. The people came across the Red Sea on their way to a place up here called Kadesh Barnea. And it took them not too long, okay? It didn't take them too long to get to there. But once they got there, which was down in this area here, they chose not to go into the promised land. And then they wandered in the desert. And after 40 years in the desert, they came to the same place. And Joshua, who was the leader of the people, said, God wants us to go in. Who's with me? Guess how many hands went up? Everybody's. Because they didn't want to spend another 40 years wandering in the desert. But the challenge was that there was a battle in front of them. Because other people lived in the land. And the challenge was that they would have to go in and take back the land that God had promised to them. So there was a challenge there. And so that was this town of Jericho down here. And at this point, they're on this side of the river. When we pick up on Joshua chapter 1, they're on the eastern side of the Jordan River, looking out over Jericho, because that's where God wanted them to go first. So that's where we are. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament, just after Deuteronomy. If you haven't, then I've got some verses up on the screen that you can follow along. So this is where we pick up Joshua chapter 1. Joshua and Caleb, by this stage, guess how young they were? 80. They were 80 years old by the time they got to this place. They were the oldest fellas in the camp, if you like. And Joshua was the one that God had appointed as leader and given the responsibility of taking the people of Israel into the promised land. So reading from verse 1, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. So God spoke to Joshua. He spoke to him and gave him that command. And here comes the promise. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. See if you can memorize this one for next week. No, that's not really homework. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. In particularly, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. How many times did he say that? Three. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then verse 16. Then they answered Joshua. This is the difference that 40 years makes, folks. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we'll obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. What an incredible response. I think they'd learnt their lesson after 40 years, don't you? Who wants to learn that same lesson? Not me. I don't want to take 40 years to learn a lesson from God. I want to hear his voice and respond obediently. Let's pray. Father, your word is amazing. It's powerful. It's written a long time ago. You inspired people to write it, but it's real for us today. And so we pray you'll speak to us from your word, and that we will listen clearly and obey fully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin with this. God's promises in verses 1 to 5. Do you know the one promise that he said that made a whole world of difference to Joshua was that? I will be with you. Do you think that's a good promise for God to make? Oh, yeah. I'd have that one. Then I'd say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And there are some promises that are in the Bible that are extremely important all the time. And this is one of them. And Jesus reiterated it, didn't he? He reinforced it. He said it again. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. Same God. Different times, same God. I'll be with you. Do you know what it says? It says, like Julie said it before, it says, we are never really alone. Is that encouraging? Is that comforting? It is. How many people do you and I come across who are lonely in our world today? It could be our families, friends. It could be the people we associate with. They are lonely. There's no one that they can cry out to. There's no one they can trust in. There's no one they can ask questions of. If only they knew the God that we know, they wouldn't need to be lonely anymore. There are some moments in life, you know, when this promise is just not good enough. The reason being is because it's absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential to claim this promise from God that he is with us day by day. So for Joshua, it was an important time for God to make that promise to him. I will be with you. Can you imagine what was going through Joshua's head at the time? You know, all these people, the responsibility, the tasks ahead. And God says, I'll be with you. I wonder if that calmed some of the anxiety and calmed some of the fear. I will never leave you nor forsake you, it says in verse 5. Moses. Just like he was with Moses, he would be with Joshua. God's promise was so important because Joshua was going to be filling Moses' sandals. Moses led the people 40 years. We don't know how long Joshua was going to do it for. We do know now, but he didn't. And I don't know about you, but when there's a change of leadership, you don't know how people are going to feel and how they're going to respond. One of the churches I went to was Mount Isa Baptist Church, and I followed a pastor who'd been there for 15 years in the life of that church. And the church had flourished under his leadership and the leadership team. But before I arrived, there'd been major retrenchments and people took packages. So when Cheryl and I and the family arrived in Mount Isa, there was one leader left and one associate pastor and everybody else had left town. So it was a bit daunting. And basically it was, why God did you bring us here? But then the Lord changed that around to say, what if God does something here? And he did over the next 5 years. I'm excited about that. So it's great to see how even when there's changes, God initiated changes, that we can accept them, run with them, and trust God for the outcome. So in Joshua's situation, he realized, the people had to realize, that leaders don't last forever. Even godly leaders like Moses, they were used by date, and they pass away. And there's a time in every ministry when God calls for new leaders or a new generation of leaders, and we need to be ready for that. Now, most people would know that Cheryl and I have indicated to the church that by the end of 2025, we'll be retired, hopefully happy pensioners. Not sure about that, but that's the plan. And some people say, oh, no, we don't want that. But if God's in this, then change is okay. By the way, we've never been there before, so it's a whole new experience for us. So we have to trust God in that. The church hasn't seen a pastor retire, to my knowledge, in the past. So we need to finish well, but we also need to get excited about what changes God's going to bring. And so for me, this book of Joshua is important. So I think it's important for the church as well. So what we're talking about here is the future, both now and the days ahead. The changes that God may bring, whether we want things to change or not, and what does that mean for us? Does it mean we ignore the past? I hope not. I hope we never forget what God's done in our lives. I hope we never forget what Jesus did on the cross. I hope we never forget what God's done in the life of the church and seeing people built up in their walk with Jesus. But we have to trust him to keep on doing the same in the days ahead. And I'm excited about that than about you. We must never forget the past. God has worked there. Moses is mentioned in this book 57 times by Joshua. So he didn't forget the past. Moses was a great leader. Joshua admired him. He was his mentor, if you like. 57 times he wrote about Joshua. And they were all positive times, by the way, if you want to check them out. And so, but God was saying to Joshua, all those things are good about what Moses did, but guess what? You're my man now. So Joshua needed to hear that from God. Even though all the things you've done in the past and everything that I've done with you in the past has been through Moses, now you're my man. I wonder if we accept that we are God's people right now and he wants to do things through us, whether it's as leaders or otherwise. You know something? God's promise in verse 5 of chapter 1, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you just imagine Joshua going, yeah, God's with me. What can I do? What can I do if God's with me? What can God do if I know he's with me? You know, one thing about that sort of promise is that we don't always have to feel his presence. When he says it, he means it, so it's true. But we may not always feel it. We may feel as though sometimes God's distant. But you know what happens in those times? We're the ones that have moved away from God. His promise is true. The good thing is that he means it when he promises it. And he will always be with you, be with us. Even when the changes of life shake us up, even when we've got more questions than answers in life, does God leave us alone? No, he doesn't. He's with us. He promises that to us. Ultimately, we know we're going to be okay because that's his promise to us. And we don't have to face life alone. I don't know about you, but I find that really comforting. God's working in our lives even when we can't see what he's doing. Sometimes we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see what you're doing. And certainly Joshua had to do that regularly in the time that he was a leader. So God's promise. What if God promises us these things? He promises to be with us. He promises not to leave us alone. He promises to guide us. Secondly, he also challenges us in verses 6 to 10. What was the three things that he said to Joshua three times? Same thing he said to Joshua three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Came through loud and clear. Whenever you see anything repeated in the scriptures, you know that the Hebrew style of teaching was reinforcement. When anything's repeated or endorsed. So his next step was to step out with God and be courageous with God, knowing that God would provide the strength that he needed. God's challenge was based on the fact that strength and courage were going to be needed by Joshua. And they're needed for us every day, aren't they? We need strength and courage every day. You know why? Because Moses wasn't there to fall on or lean on. Moses had been taken out of the picture. He was in the presence of God. So Joshua needed to learn to trust on God every day. Strength and courage. And the second reason that he needed to learn that was that the promised land hadn't been conquered yet. The job was still to be done. It was still out there. There's no reason for Joshua to live up to God, to Moses' example, because now God was with him. Certainly it was a great example that he had, but now God was with him. Moses is no longer there to take care of him. All that Joshua could see was that Jordan River there, and they had to get across it. The first step. And he needed to trust God for strength and courage to do that. Where would he get his strength and courage from? He'd get it from God. Verse 6 says this, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. That strength, that courage comes from God. What about us? What about us today? You know, we've been put here by God. It wasn't a mistake that you're in church today. It wasn't a mistake that you believe in Jesus. It wasn't a mistake that somebody cares enough to invite you along. Are we doing what God wants? That's the challenge, isn't it? We've been put here by God. We should be doing what God wants us to do. And the confidence that we can have is that he'll give us the strength and the courage to do it. Look at what verse 7 says. Again, he echoes that same thing. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it left or the right. So what he's talking about is the first five books that we have of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Torah as it's called. So this is the scriptures, this is the words that God gave to Moses. And now God was saying to Joshua, make sure you keep this in focus. Make sure you obey everything that Moses taught you and the people. It's interesting, this passage. Just delved into a little bit and I thought, how do you do that? How do you do that? And one of the next verses, I think it is, it says in verse 8, Are we there? Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. There's a lesson here from us. For Joshua, God was saying to him, read the law. Understand the law. Meditate on it day and night. Talk about it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. It wasn't just read it out loud. It was talk about it. In fact, the Hebrew word behind this is the word mutter, as in mumble about it. You know, keep it as a topic of conversation. Talk about it amongst yourselves. So you reinforce the truth in it. You reinforce what you've heard. And I think that lesson is here for us today. That how often do we remember the sermon the next day? Somebody has done some statistics somewhere in the past and said 95% of sermons are forgotten after 3 days. That's not a great encouragement for preachers, by the way. But if we were talking about it, if we were talking about the sermon, or we were talking about the Bible verse that we studied in our home group or our Bible study, if we talked about something that God said to us in our devotions with our partner, husband and wife, or with our friends, wouldn't that reinforce it in our hearts and minds? And even if it's one of those tough verses that you can't really understand, you're saying, look, I've been thinking about this, I've been pondering on it, I've been chewing over it, and really haven't come to a conclusion about it. Maybe somebody else has. And they can encourage you in their understanding as well. And this is what God was saying to Joshua. Mull it over, meditate on it, talk about it, mutter it amongst yourselves so that you won't forget the law that I've given you to live by. What a challenge for us today. Do we do that? Do we share the little bits that God shows us out of his word with a friend? Do we have a messenger group for one of modern technology that says, oh, God showed me this today. What do you guys think? Wouldn't it be great if we could reinforce the truths that we're learning by muttering it amongst ourselves? Finally this morning, what if God commands us to do something? What if he challenges us to do something? What's the response that God requires? What's the response? For Joshua, for the people, it was to follow the leader. Joshua was the leader for the people that were hearing this, that he was speaking to, that he'd written this for. It was to follow the leader. That's the response. He'd given them a promise. I'll be with you. He'd given them a challenge. Be strong and courageous. I'll lead you into the land. And now he's saying, how will you respond to that? 40 years ago, they said, no way, too hard. And now they said, whatever you tell us to do, we will do. They'd had 40 years to think over their decision. And I hope none of us take that long to decide about what God's telling us to do. They'd been judged because they didn't follow God. If God says something to you from his word or through an encouragement of another believer, think about it, ponder it, ask God about it, and then choose to obey what God's saying. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you will send us, we will go. Wouldn't it be great for every pastor and leader in the church if the whole church said that to us? This place might be empty because we'd be out there talking to people who don't yet know Jesus. We will do whatever you want us to do. We will go wherever you want us to go. They weren't just saying to Joshua. They were saying it to God. And God was getting them ready to move into the promised land. You know, 40 years ago, they had refused to listen to Joshua and Caleb. And now they were saying, you are God's man. We will listen to you. What God says through you. They responded differently. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we'll obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. You know what their response included? It included a prayer for him. May the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They were praying for Joshua as a leader. So their hearts had been changed. Their minds had been changed. They were getting used to this change in leadership. And they were committing themselves to it. It was a prayer. But you know, when God raises up leaders, there's usually some things that happen. When God brings change around in places, whether it be the people of Israel or for us as a church, he usually does things the same. He raises up great leaders. God raises up great leaders. Whenever he does anything in our world, he raises up great leaders. And he's in the process of doing that in the life of our church. We know in the New Testament there's 12 ordinary men became apostles, and then also Paul was included that later on. And I believe that God wants to raise up great leaders amongst us today as well, for whatever changes may happen in the future. I wonder if you're prepared to put your hand up and be a part of that change. I want to finish this morning by reading a passage out of one of the books that I've used as a reference for this sermon. It's by a scholar, a pastor, writer called Warren Wisbury. I have a lot of his commentaries. He wrote a commentary on Joshua called Be Strong. And he uses this illustration that I want to finish with this morning. He says this: it's unfortunate, but sometimes the only way a ministry can move forward is by conducting a few funerals. He tells this story. A pastor friend of his had pleaded with his church board to build a new space for their rapidly growing Sunday school. One long time member of the board, a prominent businessman, said to him, "You'll do this over my dead body." And they did. A few days later, he had a heart attack and died. And the church built the much needed Sunday school space, and the church continued to grow. Change is not always what we expect, but change is when it's initiated by God and we follow God's ways, we can accept it. For those of us who've been around church for a while, we do have a tendency to get set in our ways. And I'm encouraged because it doesn't have to be that way. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were how old? 80 years old when they went into the promised land. They were the leaders. And God uses people no matter what age we are. As a church, we prayed for a few years and did our homework, trusting God to see the church extended into Yungaburra. Today we have Lakeside Community Church Yungaburra, growing and witnessing to the community about Jesus. I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg when it comes to that. When it comes to what God wants us to do as a church, change is never easy, but God-initiated change is amazing when we follow God's plan. There's a prayer that I've got up on the screen here. You might like to pray this with me. I'll read it through first. This is what the prayer says. Lord, make us more like you. Lord, help us as a church and as individual Christians to do what you want us to do in these coming months. If you'd like to pray that with me, let's pray it now. Lord, make us more like you. Lord, help us as a church and as individual Christians to do what you want us to do in these coming months. Amen. Folks, God may have challenged you on something today in your life from his word. I'd love to catch up with you and chat with you about that. But I do encourage you to mutter the message, the scriptures today. Talk about them amongst yourselves or about with your families, and see what God is preparing us for. And I leave with the final thing. The possibilities are there. What if God... He's already told us some things today, but he's going to tell us more over the coming weeks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is relevant and true. We thank you that you haven't changed, and your plan for the world hasn't changed. You still desire all mankind to come back to that place of intimacy and close relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that day by day we'll keep that in mind as we go about our daily activities and as we seek to see others come into that relationship that we have with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Bob.